Welcome to hell. Hello and welcome to the Jersey Shore Musicians Podcast. I'm Matt. That's Jeff.
Hi.
Tonight we got two good friends of mine. Mr. Jay Belewski, Stomp Out. Mr. Mike Ramirez, Poor Man NJ.
Hello.
Myself. How are we doing tonight?
Wish I was higher.
Don't we all.
How'd you guys do finding the place?
It wasn't terrible. All right.
It sucked.
One for one. It's perfect. Yeah.
All right, so start with you. Give a little bit about yourself, your career in music, what you do with Poor Man.
Oh God, I'm going on 32 years of playing out, and I started booking shows called A Poor Man's Production, and this was back in 98. Right before I put out the Plan Collapse record. And, through the years, I changed the name. It was Poor Man Inc. because I was working with other people. We put out some records here and there and CDs. But, that didn't pan out. Person didn't want to do it anymore. And I decided to change the name to Poor Man NJ. And mainly, I do charity shows. I don't make a lot of profit. I do book regular shows, but even, you tend to give out more than what you're taking,
It's a labor of love.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't make money.
Yeah.
Period. Right now I play in Kirby Kiss. We got another record coming out on Council Records, another split 7-inch with Medicinal. A little road trip coming up, possibly,
Medicinal
knock
summer.
On wood, we're going to England. So
oh, that's cool.
Rebellion yeah, that's Festival, cool. Hopefully that works out. I mean, it's not a definite yet, Right now, our friend Jeff, which we were talking about earlier, that we grew up with in this area, Jeff Janik, he sings for Discharge. And I was in bands with him since we were kids. Mm. And the Tal's known him since they were 5 years old. And he's, trying to open the ways for us to come over and do some shows. I'm hoping so. I want to get the hell out of here.
Yeah. Doesn't everybody?
I toured enough to the States to know it sucks over here, man. There's nothing that great out here. It's funny. Everyone always talks shit about Jersey, but I've been all over so many freaking states. I'd rather be here.
Okay.
Just because our scene has so much going on. And I don't mean competition. It's just more of a melting pot. There's better music. We're really fucking spoiled.
Because
you go to some areas and it's like, this is your best band, man. It's fucking terrible. Not even terrible good.
That's also like a double-edged sword being here. You know what I mean? Jersey being what it is, being so close to Philly, so close to New York. You got all the flyover states where people when there's a show, everybody comes. Mixed bill shows, everybody comes. Here, last weekend, I think there was 5 or 6 good shows on Saturday night, all within an hour driving away. You know what I mean? So, within a 1 hour drive, there's 5 or 6 good shows happening in this neighborhood any given weekend. So, that spoiled bit also makes people too comfortable. Kind of
true. I can see that makes you lazy because it's like, I'll
go to the next one. Here, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what a pandemic was weird because all of a sudden it was like, shit, we got no music. Like, when the world
opened
back up.
We were the only show in town during a pandemic.
Yeah, I know. You guys have both been brought up on this podcast multiple times by multiple people, but I brought you up because Useless played all those shows at Hebrew Park for you and the VFW. And
Christ, don't you remember doing Hebrew Park for...
years ago for him.
Yeah, the Angry Drunk Picnic.
Angry Drunk Steve's shows.
That was 2011, 2010, somewhere in there.
Been going for a long ass
time. Actually,
when I played one, it was 2011, 2010, somewhere in there.
The first time I went to a show at Hebrew Park was in the early 90s, probably 93 or 94. So people have been doing that off and on for over 30 years.
Oh, yeah.
So somebody tags the bathroom and fucks it up.
Yeah. Or Karen shows up.
Yeah. Yeah.
The soccer mom that couldn't get over the word penis.
You can't get away from them. They're everywhere, man. They are everywhere.
I was going to ask you, was her name really Karen or was she Karen?
I was just generalizing as Karen. That's all.
Well, when you're having a show 1,500 feet from a soccer field, you're going to get soccer moms.
Oh, well, that's like true.
Oh, yeah. The problem was the DJ that day. The one show, I don't remember exactly what show. We were smoking our fucking brains out. And I'm just listening to what he's spinning, and I'm looking over into like the horizon, and I see like children playing soccer, and I'm like, no, dude.
Dude, there's a little league.
You're playing
some
real raw rap.
Little league game play.
You gotta be like, read the room, pal. Yeah. Read the room.
And then later on, he's playing Jazzy Jeff. And I'm like, you couldn't play that bullshit while the kids were here, but you put on the song about sucking dick and smoking crack.
There you go. Right.
It's all about the choices we make.
Yeah.
You know, they were not happy with the language. That was our last show there, that one.
Yeah, because then he switched out to the VFW out in Bamber after that.
That's correct. Yeah. Yeah.
How do you feel switching to like something outside to like the VFW? You feel like there's a benefit or?
Well, even the VFW is outside. It's like a big pavilion.
One of them is, yeah. Okay. I mean, we have a couple of outside spots we used, you know what I mean? But that was just one that was friendly to us. I found a new one for a place that I'm doing some stuff at this summer that I'm planning on using. Okay. I'm just not telling anybody where it is just yet. You know what I mean?
Gotcha. Outside stuff was great for COVID because then you didn't have to worry about like a certain amount of people inside and having masks. And
you could wear a mask but outside if you chose to. Yeah. Or we would always advertise wear a mask, you know,
whatever your
bands were, wherever you're comfortable. Well, reality, everybody was outside. No one really gave a shit.
If you felt you needed to wear one, go ahead.
If you wanted to stay 60 feet back from people,
make fun of you for
it. Yeah, the music was loud enough, you could hear
a mask a couple times where I saw like some shady ass, dirty ass people in a certain area. I don't want to fucking breathe their air anyway.
It's true. There are those folk. Oh, man. So why don't you tell us a little bit more about Stomp Out?
Well, Stomp Out started as a result of what we were talking about. I mean, I've been going to hardcore and punk shows since early 90s, same as him. I met him back when we were kids. The first show I did by myself, just, you know what I mean? It started as a joke on Facebook because Governor Murphy had just lifted the outdoor mandates on gatherings for protests and religious events. And I made a joke on Facebook, like, fuck it, we should throw a show and like call it a church gathering or protest. And in 2 weeks, we had a show.
I thought it was Stomp Out for animal abuse.
Yeah, that was the first one. I'm like, fuck it, we'll donate all the money to charity. Ended up doing three shows, and I brought Mike on board. Like, we incorporated as a legit 501(c) nonprofit, which was helpful. Mike's got a fuck ton of experience, obviously, like he just mentioned. I asked him to be on the board for the nonprofit so that he could help guide me, because I had no clue what the fuck I was doing, you know what I mean? Like, all these bands are like, yeah, we're going to play this gig. And then they're like, what are you doing about Backline? And, you know, Backline. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what the hell are you? Cabinets. I'm like, dude, I got cabinets in my fucking kitchen. I don't even know what the hell you're talking about. You know what I mean? Like,
So you walked into a real green.
I had no idea what was doing.
It was a learning process. Like,
yeah.
Right. One of mine got blown up by those bastards.
All right. And, you know, Mike helped me with number two, number three, number four. We incorporated at the end of 2020. And pretty much, I mean, same as him, like, I don't make any money. I mean, I've never taken a dime from a show. Any profit we have, we've donated to charity. And, you know, we donated a lot of money to charity in the last couple of years. Right now, I'm booking a lot of indoor shit. At, I was booking at Jimmy's. I was booking at the Jackson Moose Lodge. Been booking at Salty's like crazy. Like, Salty's is going nuts.
Yeah, speaking of that, like, it was like... a couple of venues in Asbury went down, and it was just like Salty's out of nowhere. It just became
exploded. Yeah.
Became like the spot.
Yeah.
Like,
do you know who Swank is?
No.
Used to sing for Staring Problem, Stag Party. Old short style kid. He ran Asbury Lanes for a number of years.
Okay.
He was booking stuff with
us.
You
know him if you saw him.
Yeah, you 100% got to know him.
Right, you know
him. I've known him for a long time too, and me and Jesse Gasface, Mike did a couple of shows together. And then Swank kind of kicked the door open at Salty's. Like, they weren't doing any hardcore and punk stuff, but they were looking for something. He did a show there that did really well, and they're like, "Listen, we're gonna build this room for you." And I mean, it holds 180 people. Like, it's going to be yours full time. You could have it. And we just been doing really well with it. You know what I mean? It started with small stuff. And then, like, if there was that venue has three rooms. The front room holds 450. The small room they gave him holds 180. The back room holds 600 during the summer, like 450 during the winter because the doors are open. And, like, we've had some big shows that, I mean, the one he was just talking about with tear gas, like, I mean, we use both stages. So they were flip-flopping back and forth between the two rooms all day. Like,
700 people there.
And they sold 700 tickets. Like, wow. It was fucking great, wild, man.
That's like I was saying, because I saw your guys' shows popping up there and all that stuff. And I'm like, holy fuck, like, Life of Agony's fucking playing there. I'm like, well, what is going on?
Yeah, so Swank booked that gig. You know what I mean?
Man, yeah, Life of Agony and Prong. Those are huge bands to be playing in a place like Salty's.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I mean,
from what I heard, it was a great show, too.
It was excellent. Yeah.
They were great.
The staff there is super good to us. You know what I mean? I didn't realize until that day that Tommy ran the soundboard at CB's for God knows how many years. So that was kind of cool. You know what I mean? The singer of Prong, guitarist Tommy Victor.
Oh yeah,
yeah. He ran the soundboard at CB, so like
he's gonna start ruining Glenn Danzig's sound really bad with his guitar.
I'm sorry,
man. There's all sorts of hate flowing today.
Yeah, right, we gotta get more Mike Morstone. Anybody got more weed? Yeah. I only brought one beer because I gotta drive home. But
good, yeah. That swine.
Yeah,
we got beer from Metaferkin too.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Right, got Metaferkin beers.
Yeah, they hook us up. They're a sponsor of the podcast.
Oh, that's nice. Phenomenal. Amen. Yeah.
We love those guys. They're great. Like I said, they let us go down there, cause a ruckus, and then they give us beer to drink.
Some of the bands you've booked, I've booked in the past. Like, I can't, and I don't want to sound rude, but there's one band that he used to be a police officer, and he does sound also. What the hell is that?
John Mitchell?
I guess that was his name.
Blue Line Sound?
Yes, John.
Yep, John, yep. He's a good dude.
Yeah. What do you guys got coming up for, I guess we'll say you guys do it kind of season-wise, spring, summer?
No, he goes all the time. Me, like, I'll do it, like, a few shows a year.
Okay.
Because, like I said, I play in two bands, so other than that, I'm, like, stretched out all over the place as it is just, like, Kirby Kiss is, like, so many fucking shows booked that I constantly got to ask my guitar player to send me the list. And it's like this fucking thing going on my phone, like, you know, to know what I'm doing. Right now, the next show I'm doing is February 24th at Jimmy's. It's a punk rock show. It's all old heads. Like, you have the Fear Gods are playing, and those guys, you know, the background, it's AOD.
It's Jack Steeples from AOD, Johnny from Headwound, Paul.
Yeah, they played with John Mitchell down in Manafrican a couple months ago. Yeah, I think it was like October, November, somewhere in there.
Yeah, those guys
are... Paul from AOD, the singer from AOD is a guitarist.
Well-established bands. Yeah. Who else? Graveyard School.
You got Graveyard School. You got Spiky Tops.
Spiky Tops is Renee from Blank 77.
Andrew from Pogo City Radio. That's their new project. Joe from the Unsubs. Yep. I actually saw them this weekend because I was out in Philly.
The Virus show?
Yeah, no, that show was good, dude. It was awesome.
I remember when Black John was playing drums for them.
Yeah, no, it was this was a fucked up weekend. It was a very fucked up weekend, but it was fun. All right.
I stayed home.
Yeah. Who the hell else is on that? There's one more band on that. I'm forgetting somebody.
Oh, Bride Riot.
Bride Riot. Okay,
they're a young band. Real talented. Their drummer. Oh God, what the hell is her? Amanda. I wish I could remember. Amanda.
Yeah, no, Amanda's a beast, dude. She's nuts.
She plays in Idavid. I can't fucking say the goddamn name.
She sings for that band now too, right? She plays drums at Bride Riot. She sings for In Idavid.
This girl's like a beast. She's like. What do you call like a triple threat? Everything she picks up, she's
fucking rough.
Fucking
but I mean, it's not like she's. Like, you go see like certain. I'm not trying to put down certain performers, but they're like this.
Yeah.
And this girl's like fucking throwing her body. We played with her at the Meat Locker, and I'm standing on the side of the stage up here with my drummer, and it's like you can kind of look down because it's coming from the side. Mm-hmm. So we're like. Of course, we're burning, we're laughing our asses off, and all of a sudden, set stops, and she turns around, and I shit you not, she put her hands together and, like, did this, like, fucking dive into the drum set, but I don't mean, like, I'm gonna, like, brace myself. I don't want to get hurt.
Fucking...
This girl fucking leaped in there and like took out the whole fucking drum set and didn't give a shit.
Wow.
Yeah, just got up and
shook
it off.
We were screaming ECW for a while. That's right.
that's a performer, man.
She's great.
Yeah.
That's a band to really look out for is Bride Riot. Well, anything with Amanda in it, really.
We've caught a couple of them on here where it's like we look at a lot of these younger bands and these younger kids that are, and they're just like a lot of them play the same stupid shit and nobody sticks out from the pack. But we've seen a couple that you're just like, wow. Like, what was the one? The Azures. Have you ever seen them?
Who?
The Azures.
No.
They're like a bunch of kids. They play like a real bluesy 70s kind of jam rock. And dude, those kids fucking jam, bro.
I had, and this kind of blew my mind. Check them out because they're worth listening to. We went to the same gig he was talking about, Death Threat. Death Threat headlined, and it was Big Boy from LA, or, Bay Area, San Francisco. They came out. Pale Horse played for the first time in a few years. That was a few weeks ago. The same day that Salty's had School of Rock booked in the front room. And so there's all these little kids there.
I'm playing Van Halen.
All right. But this guy comes up to me. He's like, you know, my son's in a metal band. You know, like, you know, how do we get him booked here? I'm like, well, here's a sticker. It's got the Instagram on it. Reach out to me. He's like, you know, they're little kids, but you never know they were little kids. I swear to God, like, he sent me their demo online. They got one song on Spotify. They're called Denial of the Sacrifice. They sound like really tight Motorhead, and I swear to God, the oldest kid in the band, I think, might be 12 years old.
But
this kid friggin', his dad paid for like all four of his sons to hang out for the day. I think two of the brothers in the band. I might not be right, but like this kid was 9 years old. He bought a shirt. He was up for his stage. He'd never been to a hardcore show before.
And then, loving it.
Yeah, dude. He had such a, I went there last weekend. Salty's Without Peace did their album release, and all these kids. It was an all ages gig. All these kids were back there. All right, they're back there. Like now, they're at a second hardcore show. But I listen to their music, and I'm like, I couldn't believe these were little kids. And then I looked at the pictures. And I'll show you before I split, so you see what I'm talking about. They're little fucking kids. And like, holy shit, if they keep playing, like they're gonna be fucking amazing because they're already amazing. Like,
yeah. You love to see that when they start so young, man.
That kind of gives you hope again.
Oh, yeah. A little bit. Yeah. We lost hope for a while because, like I said, you see some of these kids and some of the scenes around here, like, you know, like the Northern Ocean, Monmouth County area.
Complete the fifth.
What was that whole if you don't have nothing nice to say thing before?
I try to be vague,
but
get my point across at the same time. You know, they all play the same shit.
Yeah.
You know, no one really stands out from the pack. It's just... To me,
God forbid, boring if you do stand out, trust me.
Yeah.
And if you stand out, you're normally get shunned and blacklisted and thrown out the back door.
Been through that enough.
Right now, I feel like that Without Peace album release, there was damn near 200 kids there. All right, that was on a Friday night. It was a small room show. This band, Odiame, played. They're a hardcore band from North Jersey. Really nice fucking kids, you know what I mean? Excellent performers. Music they're playing is great, you know what I mean? Trying to think, Negative Force, which same thing. They're a hardcore band from North Jersey.
Who was the band that broke the tile?
That was Dipshits from Ohio. That's why I said it was an interesting weekend. All right,
Cleveland, right?
Yeah, Cleveland.
Cleveland sucks, man.
Yeah, I'm not even gonna say their name.
I've played there enough to say.
The bottom line is they drove 7 hours to the show and they immediately disrespected the venue as soon as they started playing. My partner who booked it got pretty upset. You know what I mean? And like. By the end of before the end of the night, they broke some more shit, and when their set was up, they got escorted out to their cars, and then a few minutes after that, like some drunk guy tried stabbing a friend of mine, and I ended up, so this it was an interesting weekend. All right,
where the hell did that happen? I was there.
That was like drunk dude was threatening somebody who was sober. I mean, Anthony, you know Ant.
Yeah,
Ant's a big dude. Ant can fight. Like Ant was like, I'm not trying to fight. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even know why this guy's mad at me. You know what I'm saying? It's like I don't know what his problem is.
He's drunk. He doesn't even know why he's mad at you.
I went outside. I brought him outside, and the dude popped open a flick knife, and he's like, "Get that motherfucker out here!" I'm like, I grabbed his wrist and popped it. I'm like, dude, I'm taking that. Get your friend. Get him in the fucking. We found his friend. We got his friend to fucking put him in the car. Get him home. Like, I'm not trying to fight nobody, but still, like, just dumb shit, dude. And like for us, like we're trying. You know, as you brought up before, like, Asbury just totally took a shit on us. So, like, that's, like, dude, Central Jersey's got this giant, medium-sized venue
but Asbury,
full of it right now. You know what I mean? Like
Asbury, you know, the whole thing with Asbury, I mean, They want it one way now, and that's it.
Yeah, not us. Yeah.
They're not allowing, it's like, and the funny thing is, you know, I'm going to pull my dick out on this one, is that we kept that place fucking open for years.
Dude, they were happy to take our money when nobody else was spending
Nobody was going to Asbury when we were kids all the time, unless like, it was bands.
Hardcore punk and metal got Asbury through the dark years.
Oh, fuck yeah,
like
dude.
The 90s and the early 2000s.
Right. Yeah, but this is it. Like, I mean, that's like Gentrifier 101 right there. Like, these people, like, they moved to the neighborhood because, dude, there's culture, there's art, there's all this awesome
shit. It's called cheap property, you know, and they took it over and pushed the poor out, man.
And then the
I don't call it anything else.
Yeah, the minute that they get there, all of a sudden, you suck all the culture and art, you fucking whitewash the shit out of it and make it a different version
greed
of what it
does
was.
All that because like I said,
turn the property value up where those people can't even afford to live and they keep pushing everybody out.
They sold that lot next to the Wonder Bar and it's going to be freaking like $1 million luxury apartments.
Yeah,
who the fuck's going to be able to afford that?
Not us.
Because you know what? I'm going to call it like I see it. It probably might be dead, but it's probably going to, you know, everything comes in cycles. I guarantee Asbury is going to turn into a big pile of shit again because no one's going to be able to afford to live there.
Yeah.
And then eventually people are going to start fucking robbing and you're going to have all those abandoned buildings that we used to run around as kids.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun in those.
Remember all the buildings that were just wrapped around the stone pony? All we did was go in there and get fucked up or, you know, like...
Well, I was going to say, I was going to bring it up before. Like, everything is very cyclical, right? Like, right now, like, our kind of music had its time in this area and it was huge.
Yep.
Right. But now we're back to the smaller hall, VFW, DIY kind of, that's where you're going to get your best turnout. But you don't really see, like, you know, a punk band or a hardcore band or a metal band playing the medium to larger size venues around here anymore.
Unless you sell tickets.
Yeah, but most of us won't do that.
You know.
Yeah.
But, like, even... it's just
the only venue that doesn't do that is Salt.
We talk about this all the time. Name one, like, music venue in Ocean County.
There's none. Music venue in Ocean
County? There was, but they just disappeared.
They're all gone. They're all burnt down.
Sandy took them out. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we used to do all those Moose Lodge hardcore.
But even that, EJ's is really just a bar with a stage. It's not like, I'm even talking, like, you find something like The Saint or that, even like the House of Independence. There's nothing.
It's gone. Yeah.
Yeah. There's nothing. There's nothing to do around here.
There was cool shit happening at Jackson Moose Lodge for a minute, and they just moved properties. I don't know how that's going to work out, but I mean they were letting us do stuff there, and we got booted.
That dude Frank does a lot of stuff out there, right?
Yeah. Frank let me do a couple of shows there.
He does the metal shows. Yeah. And stuff
He does a lot more metal shit, and like I mean we did a few punk shows that were cool. We did a hardcore show, and it wasn't not even a little bit. You know what I mean? Like.
It was one table.
Yeah, it was one table and one Christmas tree. All right, but
that sounds like a good story.
It was fun. It was a fun night. I knew, and the sad part
it
is
really that, actually was really stupid.
Yeah, it was actually it was pretty tame.
It was stupid, like compared to what I've seen. I'm like, really? That's what?
Yeah, that's what you're getting mad about.
Fucking folding table, man. Yeah.
That's what you're
Someone
mad can about.
Lean on that shit and it's gonna fall the fuck down. Yep. You know, one of your drunk fucking peckerwoods could sit on it back here.
Everybody's always looking for an excuse to get out of shit like these days. Like a lot of it, like we've brought it up, it's a lot of places don't do it anymore because insurance.
Oh yeah,
insurance is so fucking expensive. You don't want to take the chance.
There's liability.
We had that one
spot.
There's
a lot of liability in it. Yeah,
called the Isolot. The place was only open. I worked there. I was the manager, which was fucking wild.
That was the one down to the Atlantis Golf Course.
That was Manahawkin, right?
And no, again, Little Egg Harbor.
Okay.
And what was weird is this girl, she rented. It was like this office full of fucking doctors. And she rented out the whole downstairs of this building. And she made a venue. And I mean, one of the most badass venues I've ever seen. Where she had like the ceiling tiles were clear, see-through. So you could see all the ribbons and the wires running through. And she had it all lit up. She put lighting inside. So it just was like a fucking bug out. She built the stage. Full backline. One of the best PA systems I ever even seen worked on. But, you know, not to talk her personal, she had a lot of mental issues that she couldn't
overcome. Yeah.
She couldn't handle, like, a good example is, like, she started trusting me finally when she hired me because then she saw I was bringing people in. I'm like, I'm not trying to rob you. I'm not trying to do anything to you. I'm not trying to be your... The one thing, she had like an authority complex. If you gave a suggestion a certain way, she'd flip the fuck out and like charge you.
No.
go nuts.
I was going to say, like, who the fuck doesn't get in this business without mental issues? Because you're definitely a fucking glutton for punishment.
I always
shit,
see people with money like, that get into it that can't fucking handle
it.
Give me a little fucking leeway. I can
handle this is why me and you got the fucking best business model, all right? Like, my business model's simple. I'm not trying to make money. Therefore, I ain't got shit to lose. You know what I mean? Like,
well, I was raised by Jacko.
Like, you know,
that was the promoter that taught me everything.
I want to make sure the bands are getting paid. That's the only thing I'm really fucking worried about. I want to make sure. I mean, it's Salty's. The house got to make money, but they're making money off booze, so that's not my problem. You know what I mean? And the crowd that we bring out, they drink, and they drink heavy, and they tip well because we all got fucking jobs. You know what I mean? It's pretty simple. Yeah. Like,
as long as the bands are taken care of, and you break even. You know, that's all. As long as you're not losing money. That's what you're hoping for. As long as you break even and you're not losing money, that's
it. All washes out, man. Yeah. At the end of the day, and I mean, at least for this, like I said, I mean, I took my cue from him, and when we did the nonprofit kick, it, you know, I got him, I got my wife and Kevin, the sound guy we were talking about before, they're the board members of Stomp Out. And, you know, any profit we make, we donate to charity. Some are benefits, some are not, you know what I mean? But like, even, you know, we've had the opportunity, gotten the opportunity to help a shitload of people directly, like a shitload of animal shelters, a shitload of people that just, I mean, went through some tough times, couldn't pay their rent, you know what I mean? And like, you know, we don't really talk about it or make it public, but like,
well, it's like the one show we did for you. We raised a ton of money for Pete,
dude. Ton of it, And I mean, that was, this is an old friend of mine who, again, played Heber Park when we were kids. Yeah. I mean, like, we were kids. I hung out in that dude's basement listening to records. You know what I mean? Yeah, you know, nonstop when we were kids. Like, I mean, I roadied for his band like all through high school. You know what I mean? Like, he played with a bunch of different shit. And when he got sick, being able to raise money to help his kids, like, that was fucking cool. And we did really good that day. You know what I mean?
We definitely did. Yeah, it was a great day too.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. A lot of people turned, a lot of local heads turned out for him. You know what I mean? His wife was kind of upset about that. Unfortunately, he passed away like 6 months after that.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, made
that. But you know, it is what it is. I've actually got something in my head, like, if I ever figure out if doing it, I'd like to do like an annual show for him every year, like a scholarship or something like that. I don't fucking know. Something.
Or just something to build up a little fun for his kids.
Yeah. You know, like something annually would be cool, but I just, you know, I kind of lost it. Last year was so fucking busy, it wasn't even funny. You know what I mean? Last year, I think we mathed it out at the end of the year. I think last year I ended up booking something like 60-something shows. You know what I mean? I'm like, 50 of them were at Salty's, which is kind of wild. I mean, there's weekends where I'm there Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I'm like,
Like I said, out of nowhere, that place just
blew up. Yeah,
it really did.
Well, it's just like everything in our scene. It's the next spot.
Yeah.
Well, the scene's it's dying for something like that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, it started with, you had like the Stone Pony used to do the matinees, and they didn't even turn the fucking heat on.
Yeah.
And they let you, you weren't freezing because you were sweating, but you had steam coming off your body because it was so fucking cold. But like, moving place to place, at least for me with Poor Man, it's like, the scene just goes through cycles. Yeah. You know, one place will be hot for a while.
Then it falls off.
And then it falls off. Or somebody does something fucking stupid.
Well, that's why, one thing. That's why I don't want to go back to Jimmy's for a minute. Like, I'm doing a show in Jimmy's in May. And, like, I mean, Jimmy's been good to us. I like the dude. I love the dude.
Jimmy's doing very well with those tribute bands, man. No. He's been packing that fucking bar out.
I did a hardcore show there, and some kid got knocked out.
That's his only rule, no more hardcore.
Yeah, like, that punk was, but I ended up with the cops from Kearney driving out of my job asking me questions because the kid who got knocked out was trying to file assault charges against the person that did it. And it was 100% an accident. The kid was high as hell. He wasn't paying attention to what was going
drunk
on. You know
and he fucking walked right into a foot, and I watched him.
I didn't see shit because I was taking tickets.
Well, that's the problem with this world today. Everybody's looking to try to fucking sue somebody to make a quick buck instead of saying, "Hey, I'm at a hardcore show. Fucking blasted. I need to just fucking."
They kept warning this jerk off. Even the kid that hit him by accident prior to it happening, he said, "Guy, you're like, watch out. Be careful.
I'm good. He wasn't good. He was not good, dude.
You got to stay out of there, you know? And all of a sudden, bam.
The kid had a fucking pocket full of friggin' shit and edibles, and I swear to God, it looked like Sonic the Hedgehog because, like, he got kicked in the mouth, he fucking spun around, and all his shit went flying. It was like the fucking rings went fucking everywhere, you know what I mean? It was funny as hell.
That's funny, man. Meanwhile, he wants to sue the place because he's a fucking jerk.
Yeah, because you're a fucking knucklehead. Buck,
but you're high and drunk, but I'm going to go sue. And I got kicked in the face because I kept walking into the guy that kept telling me dude, you're gonna get hurt over here. Please move.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm even good. That, like,
yeah, you're good.
When we were growing up, if you went to a show like that, like we all went in there with the understanding, like I could very well get my face busted open tonight, and I gotta be okay with that when I walk out of here.
Bro, and if I'm not, I'm gonna stand over there. I'm gonna stay way the hell back there. All right.
He saw me open for the Misfits at Starland Ballroom. And, okay, we're in our late 20s. We shouldn't be encouraging anybody, really, to be going in a pit. Like, we're just, like, inching 30 at this point. And I'm like, yo, you go in there? Yeah, fuck them up while we're playing. Yeah. So I see, I'm like, I'm playing, and I'm watching the crowd go nuts. And I see him, like, in the middle. And he had, like, long blonde hair. So I see his hair whipping around. I'm like, all right, he's all right. And all of a sudden, he just fucking disappeared. I fucking go outside. We finish our set. My mother, with her accent, she goes, Michael, Steven, he's bleeding all over the ambulance. Dude ended up getting $5,000 worth of facial reconstruction surgery.
Fuck. Well, he got fucked up, huh?
If you saw his, like, I've known him forever, his face looks fine. Whatever happened was he caught a knee. Somebody's knee came up and split from his lip, I guess all the way, like, through to the chin, so the bone was showing or something.
That'll bleed like a motherfucker.
Yeah. I'm still stuck on the, you know, we're pushing 30. I shouldn't be encouraging nobody to dance, bro. I'm like 45 years old. I'm still throwing down. I'm still fucking throwing down, all right?
Yeah, well, keep drinking. On a regular. You'll be fine. You don't feel it.
Yeah.
That's a true story.
Until the next also, morning, you wake up and you're like, why is my back fucking hurt so bad?
You also got to think of something, too, man. It's the kind of line of work you do. Like, I swing a hammer to take out walls. I'm used to getting hit by fucking somebody. I don't go out there because I can't move like I used to. So I'm like, I don't feel like getting broken. So you get some of these guys that all they do all day is work on a computer. And they're like, yeah, I'm going to go run out there. Bro, you're going to get fucked up. You don't belong out there. Fucking 40 years old. You couldn't dance when we were 16. Don't fucking try it now.
There you go. Now you're just going to get smacked around by the little kids and you're going to feel stupid about it.
All right. Little kids are all fucking huge.
That's awesome. I remember my son was like a junior in high school. And one of the kids he knew is, I'm looking at the kid. He's like fucking 6'7". And I'm like,
dude, that's like both my sons, dude. Both my son, my two older boys, one of them's 6'5", I think the other's 6'3". And they outweigh me by like 6. I mean, I think the older one outweighs me probably like 60 pounds. The other one's probably got 20 pounds on his brother. I'm like, and it's a good thing. I mean, and dude, my oldest boy's friggin', you know, he's definitely a sweet kid. He's queer. And, like, it's funny as hell because, like, you know, and it's tough to make them mad, but, like, God forbid you did. You know what I mean? Oh, like, that kid with, and I've seen him, like, somebody started talking shit to him for being gay at one point. Like, I brought him out to a show and somebody said something that they shouldn't have said.
Yeah.
And my fucking
boy.
They
woke up the bear.
Yeah, my boy just, like, drilled him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and like, my daughter. Cool, my daughter would fuck you up, man. My daughter's gay, too. You say something to her, she'll beat your ass like a man.
But I didn't even need to get involved. It was done before I got there. I'm like, this is fucking, like, I'm kind of proud right now. You know what I mean?
You just sit there and look with your proud dad moment.
Yeah. All right. I'm just going to enjoy this. Like, fuck, kind of awesome. Yeah,
just because he's gay doesn't mean he can't
handle
himself.
Well, because
it's
the other end of it is that he's definitely, like, I mean, he's a nice kid. He's not super flamboyant, but he's, like, he's a happy kid. You know what I mean? Like, he's... But, just don't fuck with him. I mean, he's a big boy. And, like, just because he looks nice don't mean he has to be. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. They got to stay that way. All right?
So what else you got coming up soon?
Dude, this Friday is
incendiary. This Friday, we won't know it. Go like 2 weeks, 2-3 weeks from now.
Oh, it won't be up. It won't be up. All right. 2-3 weeks from now, what the hell we got? Shit. Well, his show. I'm going to his show in February, February 24th. I'm going to be at definitely going to be at Jimmy's for that because those are all good homies on that bill.
What band is that?
That's the one he's got spiky tops.
Oh, that's just a poor man show.
It's a poor man show. It's not a stomp out gig. It's a poor man gig.
Then I'm also doing the one in Trenton.
Yeah, people get confused because they do a lot of stuff together, but they also do a lot of stuff independently.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of times.
A long time.
Yeah. He's been doing this a hell of a lot longer than me.
What are you talking about?
You know what, though? I noticed, and I've said this to him before, like, I mean, I've had people hit me up, like, the day of the show and, like, not even, like, bro, you coming tonight? I'm like, I fucking put it together. Like, yeah, I'm going to be there. You know what I mean? So, like, dude, the average idiot on Facebook don't pay attention to what they're looking at. You know what I mean?
Like the average idiot anywhere don't
look. They're not looking at half of the shows anyway.
Yeah. Know? We got on, oh, March 2nd with Gutter. We're doing, me and Gutter put together, he put on the Bulldoze, Mortician. I forget who the hell else on that. I booked a second stage lineup. It's some friends of mine from Massachusetts called Alley Trash. And it's the other band, Silent as Jackal, Gloves Off from PA, Spirit Bombs, local Tom's Riverheads. Like, they used to run a spot called the Fly Trap. Like, booked a few shows there. And
I've heard about that. Is that place still going? I was able to
book one.
It's defunct. I can't get into why, but it was a flash in the pan. It was a cool flash. Yeah, because
a bunch of people brought it up, and I had never heard about it before. And then that's all. As soon as I heard about it, it's like it just went away.
Unfortunately,
as quick as it showed up.
New Year's Eve, it got shut down due to stuff I'm not going to talk about. But they ended up moving. They had a free, cool New Year's Eve show booked, and we ended up moving it to Salty's last minute for them. And everybody involved with that spot's all really awesome people. You know what I mean? So those kids are open to that show up.
A lot of old heads.
Who the hell else was on that? I think fucking Chained to the Dead. A couple of bands I can't read. You know what I mean? Like, it's a good hardcore metal lineup. A
couple of bands I can't read.
Yeah,
like, well, there's fucking lettering.
Death metal lineups.
Oh, it's every death metal band logo scribble.
Pretty much.
It's and like,
then, who? The hell else we got? March 15th, Dogfather and Operation Rewrite, which is... people who own Paul's Tavern, Paul Jr., he plays in Huge. It's another band that he's in. I think, who else is on that? This band called Gunk. They're like a sludge metal band. Plays Chubby Pickle all the time. Who the fuck else is on that? I'm forgetting another band that's on that. There's four bands on that. I can see the flyer in my head, but I can't remember who the else is playing. All right. March 6th. Yeah, cell phone.
Well, he's old school. Here. You got the phone calendar. Yeah. He's got the piece of paper with a bunch of scribbles all over.
Well, no, because I was trying to keep straight on my calendar. You know what I mean? Because the March 1st, Shep, like our friend, the guy he plays in Kirby Kiss with, he's got a show coming up with, I think, Kirby Kiss, Conde Ameda, Stress Bells, right?
Yeah, hold on. I'm coming.
All right, that's that one.
Yeah, that's right. That's the beginning of...
Yeah, it's March 1st.
March 1st, yeah, because then we're in right, Philly and D.C., right?
March 14th, 14th, 15th was a Dogfather show. I wrote that down. March 16th, we haven't announced where it is because it was going to be at Salty's, but I think we just moved it. I got a conservative military image. I don't know if you heard of them at all, but probably not your scene, but they're like a oi hardcore band. That's
why are they being moved?
I'm not getting into that. Okay.
not politics?
Yeah. Not getting into that, but this band Haywire from... Boston is coming down. It's going to be their first show in Jersey, and they've only played like two or three shows, but they exploded since they started playing. The guys in the band are all in other good bands, you know what I mean? So that helps. They're on a cool fucking record label and super friggin' helpful. March 24th, I got Burnt Milk Ghosts. March Burnt Milk Ghost with Houston and the Dirty Rats, who you booked a bunch of times. It's a band, Little Miscarriage from North Jersey. That band I was talking about before, Denial of Sacrifice, is playing that one. Yep, that's yours. Friday, March 1st, Burial Dance, Reds, Conde Ameda, Kirby Kiss, Everything and Nothing, and Stress Spells. Mortician. How the fuck did I forget that, man? Mortician, Bulldoze, Bayway. I don't know if you know Bayway at
all. I've seen them all over fucking Instagram.
Yeah, dude, they're fucking killing it right now. Joe's fucking awesome people.
They do a lot of stuff with Fury, too, right?
Yeah. Fury was on their record. They were on Fury's record. Chained to the Dead's another hardcore band. Damage Control is another local hardcore band. And then other stages, Gloves Off, Salinas, Jackal, Alley Trash from Massachusetts. I think they're all from Massachusetts, definitely from New England. March 30th, they're doing the Fury gig with Demise's first show back since 92 with Gloves Off again, Combust, Freight Train, Discontent. Discontent is actually Beto from Demise's kid, Caden, Reaching Out. You've heard of band Reaching Out?
Yeah, Reaching Out, yeah.
Yeah, Caden was their bass player and then their guitarist. He sings for Discontent, or maybe, no, Disguise is the one he sings for. There's too many fucking disc bands.
He plays in a lot of
They're in like 10 bands, but I think he might play guitar for that one. You know what I mean? And then actually you're on that show too. Tear Gas is opening that one up. And then this one's not even fucking booked yet, but I got this band called Hood Rats from Canada coming down. And Yeah. Well, no, they're playing. We don't like Canadian bands.
No, it's just a name like Hood Rats. Yeah.
they're like a punkoy band.
All right. Oh, okay. Don't judge your book by its cover.
All right. And then Intimidation's like playing that gig, but we don't know who else is. All right. April 20th, I got a big outdoor show that I'm not disclosing the venue because they pissed the whole fucking internet off. So, you know, It's,
you're gonna wait for the proper moment to piss everyone off with that.
No, they're already pissed. They're already very pissed. Yeah.
We are not a part of that show.
We'll talk about that off air.
I will emphatically state that Mike Ramirez has zero to do with that show. It's Condemned 84 from England, the old skinhead band. They were around since the early 80s, and you know, people just got mad butt hurt that they're playing because they haven't played the States in years. And my friend's band Stormwatch is playing.
Fuck them.
Yeah, Mike don't like them either. But
they don't like me because I'm Puerto Rican, dude.
It was a long time ago.
I don't give a shit.
That was a long time ago. Nah, dude, they were knucklehead kids when they were kids. You know what I mean? And like,
kids will be kids.
Yeah, all right. And trying to explain fucking the politics of this fucking skinhead scene to people that aren't intimately familiar with it is difficult. And the 80s, 90s shit was fucking weird. You know what I mean? It really was.
Well, 90, yeah, but in the 90s, you had more of the traditional skins that weren't a bunch of peckerwoods trying to fucking take you out.
Yeah.
Because you're Puerto Rican or Italian or black.
Yeah, but then you also had black people and Puerto Rican and Jesus Christ.
I mean, you had the same thing in the hardcore scene too. Yeah. And like you had the whole
hardcore was always mixed.
The FSU scene and all that. They would literally just beat people up if you looked at them wrong.
Pretty much.
That was the death knell for New Jersey hardcore.
Was that shit, dude? Like that's what absolutely fucking killed it for like 10
but
years.
But we're talking about melting pots. We're not talking about like people fighting. We're talking about melting pots. It wasn't just one race pulling the strings. Everybody in hardcore is always mixed.
Punk rock was that way, it's supposed to be about the music.
Yeah, the skinhead scene was the same way too, man. Like anybody that denies the roots,
like the Headache Record bands, they were black and white skins in those bands.
Yeah, but even that shit, like, I mean, you know, I won't put anybody on blast, but certain members of fucking Squiggy had some twisted politics towards the end.
And what happened to him?
Yeah, all right,
he got the fucking boot.
Yeah. Now, the flip side, you got guys like that who might have said or did some dumb shit when they were 19, 20 years old, but they're fucking 50-year-old men now, so they've learned and they're better. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And I mean, even some of that, like, we had some friends in this neighborhood, and like, I mean, there's still people I see today, and I fucking social media pains me, especially watching younger people, because like, I see young kids who desperately want to belong to something, and I watched a lot of my friends go bad routes in life because of that type. You know what I mean? I had friends that ended up, I won't even call them friends because they're not here no more and we're not friends, but the bottom line is that they were friends and like they ended up, they so badly wanted to belong to anything that they latched onto something that was not something they should have been a part of just because they wanted to be accepted. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, they're scared little fucking kids who just needed to belong. You know what I mean? And you either, you know, outgrow that shit and become a better human being, or you know,
or you get chased down and get chased yours.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but at the end of the day,
I believe in an eye for an eye, man.
You know, you and me, I never tolerated that shit. I still don't. All right.
Well, I've been friends with both of you guys for quite a while, and
yeah,
you're both stand-up dudes, man.
I've known him for over 30 years.
I grew up with your younger sister, Courtney.
Yeah, I know, dude.
How was your neighbor?
Older brother, Chris, man.
What? All right. I was sort of your neighbor.
Yeah, you lived right around the corner. Yeah.
Your older brother was friends with my older brother when we were kids. They used to go swimming in the fucking pool together. So there you go.
Yeah.
And the first time I met you is when I came out from doing a vacation back in my bad days, when I started working at Stop and Shop for, who's the singer of, oh my God, fucking A, man.
Kids don't smoke weed.
No, his brain just had to reboot right there. The fuck was the ska band at Inspector Seven?
Travis.
Who's the singer of
Giuseppe?
Giuseppe. His father was our manager in the produce.
Oh yeah.
Mancini.
Yeah, that's it. Yep.
Oh yeah. And I didn't know that. He knew I was bullshitting him the whole time. Like, yeah, I'd be like, I can't work this day. I go to music school. I don't know what else to fucking say to the guy. But meanwhile, he's like, yeah, my son won that Moon Stomp bullshit records. And like, get no fucking money.
He said that's where we started. We started knowing each other. But then for years and years. But Metro Music, like, our bands would always be practicing in the rooms right next to each other.
That's when I was doing Ash Monday.
Mm-hmm. Back in the day. That was probably like 2009, somewhere in there.
From that band lasted from 2004 to 2010.
Yeah, 2008, 2009. Yeah.
And then it was, what the fuck was that after that? I don't remember. Oh, after the reach arounds.
Yeah, after that, you did a dildo in the reach arounds. Yeah.
Otis's gun stash.
Otis's gun stash.
Right, we're that you guys played with Useless.
Yeah. That was a good mix. Those two bands sounded good together.
That was actually what was super cool about that Life of Agony show. Like a bunch of guys I grew up with, Eric Quigley, the dude who's singing. Like,
I've known Quigley forever. Yeah,
yeah, dude, he came out to that, and like, I mean, it was cool.
Cause yeah, I wanted to go, but I had so much shit going on, and I was like,
you would just really don't want to drop 50 in the old guy section with us because we went outside, we couldn't fucking breathe in there.
Man, there was a lot of people.
We're all smoking pot, looking at the glass, going like this, telling the girl to wipe the condensation off. I'm like, wipe it off. I want to be able to see. I can hear it. I want to be in there getting sweated on anyway. You know, so many people. It was great.
That's awesome. All right, well, before we wrap this up, I was, you know, little thing that just popped in my head, maybe we should try to all collaborate and do something at Salty's.
I'd be game.
We can come, we can do video, we can, you know, take the audio from the board, do some great video for it.
That would be cool.
I'd all collaborate and make something happen.
You know, that would be pretty cool. I'm into it. You know? All right. There's a lot of cool shit happening right now. I don't know. We got a partner from a club in New York that's like helping bringing some of the bigger shit down, and like I don't want to say too much just because you know what I mean, like, but there's a lot of cool shit on the calendar.
Yeah, because I know you like doing a mixed bag and shit like that too.
Oh hell yeah,
we could get some. Yeah. We have bands from like I mean all over the spectrum. Like we could pull from.
Yeah. You know, even we even went so far, and I had nothing to do with the actual booking aspect of it, but I had a hip hop crew from Worcester, Massachusetts, hit me up, and they did a show there. Shit, maybe 2 months ago, which 100%, like, you know me, it's definitely out of my wheelhouse, you know what I mean? And like, but they were good, they were respectful, they had fun, it was cool, they're coming back, they're doing
another
show.
That's the
word like,
there, respectful.
Yeah, you know,
that's what it's all about.
Dude, they
it's
had
about
a blast,
the music,
you know
be respectful
mean?
To the venue, and you can continue to do it.
No, absolutely, you know what I mean? And the other end of it is, like, I mean, like we said before, like, I got a day job that pays the bills. I'm not doing this. Like, we do this shit because we love this shit. Yeah. Like,
we don't make any money from this.
I mean,
I'm almost
50 years old, and, you know, it took this many years since I was signed with the Despised 3 years ago that, like, you know, to be on another independent label, somebody putting out my records. Shit would never happen, man. You know what I mean? It's all luck. Everything's luck.
No, you're doing
it's definitely not fucking money.
You're doing some amazing shit right now, though, too, man. Kirby Kiss, 100% fucking, like, has done some amazing crap in the last couple of years. And even Tear Gas, I won't say they got off to a rocky start, you know what I mean? But I feel like y'all are finally finding your fucking stride. You
well,
know
yeah.
I mean? Like,
well, yeah. The problem was with that band, it was, you know, like, just everybody just getting... Like being able to put more time in because
well, that's the hardest part of our age is being consistent with it. Mm-hmm. You know, being able to get everybody to line up on a set practice schedule every week.
It's
tough. Five guys.
When you got like 4 to 5 adults, it's hard. Sometimes it's really fucking hard to make schedules work. Yeah,
dude, how long did it take to make this happen? Yeah, we talked about this about a year ago.
I know.
All right,
I was supposed to be here like a year ago. Yeah. And I got stuck.
Yeah. Dude, I walked in, I went to work, I worked 11 hours today, which is normal, Monday through Friday, that's standard, every Monday through Friday is 11 hours a day, I usually work Saturdays, like, when they need me to, I walked in the door, my baby's, you know what I mean, doing, like, that gotta go, you got an appointment, got shit, to do. You know what I mean, like, you know, so yeah, it's, you know, and plus with all the other shit, like,
and I always love seeing your little daughter running around with little earphones on, and,
Yeah, I wish she was here because like she would have drove us all nuts. But I mean, like I said to her, like Joanna, what are we doing tonight? She's hardcore baby. I'm like, fuck, like wow, cute. You know what I mean?
Raise
like,
right.
Yeah.
All right, last question before we get out of here. If you could change one single thing about the local music scene, what would it be and why? Not like something to start a chain reaction, but like if you could change one single thing, what would it be and why that you think would be most beneficial?
No gatekeeping.
Ooh. It's one of my favorites.
No, and what I mean by gatekeeping is also ageism.
Yeah.
That pisses me off beyond belief. And I mean both sides.
Well,
you're too young or you're too old.
Well, I can't. I mean, I'm...
And gatekeeping, you got a lot of guys in the scene.
Well, there's always going to be cliques, and that's...
And I'm glad it's starting to evaporate, because as of lately, it's not as heavy as it was a few years ago, where before the pandemic, it's like, if you weren't in certain cliques, you weren't fucking playing that place.
Oh, yeah.
I don't give a fuck how good you were, nothing. If you weren't
Kissing this guy's ass, you weren't
exactly.
playing over there.
If you weren't in with that certain group of people, you weren't playing. That's like long as gatekeeping stays out, the ageism, sexism, all that shit. Just keep
the ageism. I'm not going to defend it. All right, because I don't agree with it either. I definitely see a lot of it too. But like a lot of these kids found their way to our scene. And I call it RC.
Oh, that's not what I mean by ageism. Like, it's also to teach them that, you know what, you can be young. See, I shut my fucking mouth when I was around certain bands. Like, here's a good one, the Wretched Ones. Being around those older guys, you fucking learn.
Yeah.
Instead of sitting there running your fucking mouth, acting like, you know, no, I don't want to listen to you, or I don't want them to play because that guy's old. But meanwhile, you fucking hear them and you go nuts. You know what I mean? It's like besides they won't the fact give chances.
That they built the fucking
world.
It
goes both ways, too.
Those guys built the world you inhabit. The world that you inhabit wouldn't be here if it wasn't for guys like that. You know what I mean?
Jacko, that's all I got to say. Yeah, you want to do your fucking homework about someone that really did something for the New Jersey scene who doesn't get any, not enough respect in my fucking book, is Jack Monahan. That guy ran shows from Cafe Bar to the Stone Pony,
for years,
to Fast Lanes, to the fucking other stupid ass lanes, to you fucking name it.
The Brighton, yeah.
He ran it all. Of course, what I call the big cliques and ageism and
gentrification.
It ate them up.
Well, at least, I mean, I can't speak for other people besides myself, but like, I mean, there was kids that I went, like back when Jacko was doing shows, like everything Jacko did, I went to.
Right.
I didn't even know the fuck was playing half the time. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, well, but that's the difference of generations, too.
You went to a Kojak show.
Our generation would just go to a show. It didn't matter who was playing. You're just like, let's go out and see. We'll see who. There's going to be somebody good playing.
Jacko's doing matinees on Sundays at Stone Pony. Like, dude, we were at everyone. Unless, I mean, maybe not everyone, but damn near everyone.
I mean, he found me drinking in a fucking dumpster at 14 years old and pulled me in and started having me play.
Yep.
I mean, if it wasn't for that guy, who the fuck knows where I would be right now? He gave me something to like look forward to, want to do.
He kind of took you under his wing, yeah.
And he taught me a lot of shit without even realizing it. Well, I still follow his structure. I still follow to this day. You get up there, you set your shit up fast. Don't fucking make people wait.
Yeah.
You break your shit down fast so the band next doesn't have to fucking wait for you to get on stage.
Yeah, that way that room doesn't empty.
Because I remember him yelling at me as a kid. I'm like, why is he yelling at us? We just finished. He's like, come on, get that amp off the stage. Switch.
Yeah.
As much as I hated him, who was always like that was fucking Elmo.
Yeah.
Elmo at the Pony was always like, get your shit up there, let's go. He's like, on your fucking ass.
Oh, I never dealt with that guy.
Yeah. Little tiny short dude, ponytail.
People got short attention spans.
I stopped playing the Pony probably the last time I played the Pony. And I took over for Jacko doing the matinees with Blaze.
And, do you need a used Honda?
The used Honda guy.
Do you need a used Honda? All
right. He was the singer of Blind Society, though.
Yeah.
You know what? I can't say one bad thing about that kid. Dude, because he was the reason why I got a record deal in 1998. He sent our tape in and talked their ear off till that label showed up.
This is why he's in politics now.
All right. I don't know what his politics is or his religion thing.
I'll tell you what, though. It's one motherfucker I don't want backing me up in a fight, and that's all I'll say. All right?
I'm sure he can't fight his way out of a paper bag.
No, it's not even that.
And you?
I don't know. I want to piggyback off what he said, man. Like, I touched before on that. Like, the cliques ruined hardcore. The stupidity, you know what I mean? And, like, even today you see it. I don't, you know, I think it's, this might be, I don't want to sound egotistical whatsoever because it's not my place to do it. But I feel like guys like me, him, you know what I mean? People have been around for a minute. A lot of these kids found their way to the scene a different way than we did. Social media, accessibility changed the entire fucking landscape of how people get into this stuff. I mean,
talked about it. YouTube has changed the way people view music because a lot of people would rather just throw a concert on their TV than actually
go
to a show.
Yeah. You know, and that like even a lot of people that are like into bigger shit. Like, I mean, you'll see people that'll go to summer stage shows, but you'll never catch them at a show at Salty's or a Bond Street Basement gig or like some shit like that.
Or they won't dare come to Mill Hill in Trenton.
Yeah, you know,
which is one of the best punk bars to ever go to. Just to let everybody know, I'll be there March 20th.
But the thing is that like, because every weekend I'm out at pretty much, I mean, there hasn't been a weekend in at least the last 5 years where I haven't been in a fucking show. You know what I mean? I see a lot of the same kids, and I mean, some of them, like, they didn't find hardcore punk the traditional way that we did, but, like, they're sticking around, they're learning, you know what I mean? And that's what I said on it. It's not really our place to show them, but, I mean, if they keep saying it, they're going to stick around, you know what I mean? Like, and that's, it's not a bad thing, and I feel like right now it's better than it's been a long time, and I kind of feel like the kids are almost doing it better than we are.
Like, he said, it's cycles. I think that we hit the bottom, yeah, and now it's going to slowly, yeah, you know, it's going to start building again and come back around eventually.
Yeah. Everything goes in
might
circles.
Take years, but you never know.
As I said, I don't feel like it's my place to guide them, but the ones that, like, you know, because who the fuck am I? You know what I mean? But, like, the ones that actually will listen, like, you'll talk to and explain it to them, and, like, I see a lot more of the same faces popping up all the time, and, like, that's pretty cool, and they're supporting not just, because it'll start with, like, one band, like, they'll support their friend's band, and they'll fucking, but, like, what used to happen is I see their friend's band play, and half the fucking crowd would leave, you know what I mean? And now, like, they're starting to stick around for more shit. I'm like,
that's
what
I like.
This is cool,
like,
you know what I mean?
The shows we've been doing, like, we do such a crazy mixed bag. Like, the one we did at Matt African, the first band was, like, a post-folk band.
Yeah, Burnt Tavern. Awesome
and,
people, dude.
Yeah,
they really
Mark
are good
Ward's a good friend of mine, yeah, who was right around the corner, yeah, from me. And but it's and then from there, we went to, like, what was it? The Gunsmoke Sinners played next, right?
Yeah,
they're
Frankie,
they're like a
they're
spaghetti western, you know, rockabilly.
Yep.
And then we had Vessels play last.
Yeah, no,
so
Vessels,
you had folk to rockabilly to hardcore.
Yep.
And everybody's fans stuck around for all the bands, enjoyed everything, was hanging out with each other. And it was just, it was a great day. And that's what you need more of, is where, you know, people are willing to stick around to see a band.
That's
they're
like
not,
the
they,
toy drive.
They would not necessarily go out and see if they weren't already
of
there.
Of course.
You know?
Yeah. Mixed
and,
bills are always
good. Well, this is one thing that I never got, because, I mean, shit, dude. Like, the first show I went to, my mind exploded. You know what I mean? Literally, like, I'm fucking just like, holy shit, I've never seen anything like this. But I was a fucking little ass kid. You know what I mean?
I was 8 years old, man.
I wasn't that cool.
I was
12,
lucky.
But,
no, I had an older brother who took, it was 1984, and he took me to this fucking roller skating ring in Bricktown. He had to babysit me. And I ended up seeing Social Decay, Lethal Aggression,
Johnny.
And I just remember those two names because they stuck out the most, because they were on my brother's walls, and he was friends with some of these
fucking dudes.
You're
familiar with them,
yeah.
We're truck core.
And I don't remember who, but just like Jay said, the first time you fucking see it, and I mean, 8 years old, I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, people are diving through
the fucking
air.
Energy is just insane, bro. It's and trying to, like, you can't, I mean, as much as it's cool, like you were talking about, like, kids sit home and watch on YouTube, which is great for people that can't get there, but, like, at the same time, like, dude, you can't. That's not a feeling.
Vibe.
Yeah, it's not a feeling that you could really video.
Like that endorphin and adrenaline rush you get when that first bass hits, and it's just, boom.
Yo, still to this day, there's certain shit I listen to, or like somebody sends me a new record, and like I mean, at work, I'm blessed that I can, you know, I fix shit all day, so like I wear headphones all day, and like certain music just fucking the hair on my arms is standing. I got goosebumps.
Yeah.
Like, fucking jumping at the bit. You know what I mean? Like I just you know,
it might be
you know
a
that feeling.
Problem.
Yeah. Maybe.
Because the music's in your blood, man. That's what it is.
All right. I'm like, I couldn't see myself doing nothing else. Not a bad thing.
Yeah, thought about that.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen. Well, thanks for coming out.
Yes,
fucking cheers, fellas. We appreciate the hell out of you for doing what you do.
Oh, all right. I appreciate you that.
Thank you. Is there anything you guys want to tag as far as emails or socials or whatever?
At Poor Man NJ, right?
At Poor Man NJ, all lowercase letters on Instagram. Right. If you want to get in touch with me for booking, for other shows, charities, get in touch with me there. Or of course, there's the Facebook and also the other
becomes prepared.
Fucking
all right,
thing.
Cool.
They're all in there.
Yep. They're all in there.
Yeah, our shit's half of our shit we do together.
You just, all you got to do is look up Poor Man NJ. Yeah. And the same thing with Stomp Out.
Stomp Out, New Jersey. I got my balls busted for that because they're like, why do you want to Stomp Out, New Jersey? Like, dude, whatever. Just stop. All right.
Yeah.
The registered charity's name is Stomp Out Abuse, but that confused the shit out of people. So we simplified it, made it no underscores. And just for the hell of it, Sure Style Punk Night, because that's my partner, one of my partner's companies up in Asbury. You know what I mean? He's the one who does a lot.
And everybody follows Salties, too.
Yeah, and Salties is doing what Salties is doing. You know what I mean?
Follow Mill Hill, Salties,
follow
Jimmy's,
dude.
Keep following
awesome
anything
people.
That's doing actual shows.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Don't get just stuck in one
Support
joint.
The scene.
Yeah,
how about that?
Well, let it spread out. You got to let it spread out or it dies in one spot.
Hostile City Oi Council in Philly, doing excellent punk rock shit. They're good people.
Clank,
All right, Jay Clank, Chris Catan, Ryan Gorham, you know, Liberty of Death Records in PA. Dan, I mean, he does a shitload of charity work, puts out great music. Pretty much everything's either veterans or animals, you know what I mean? JJ's got Hardcore for Pits coming up. I think he's got Mephiscopheles playing. Like,
the name I haven't heard in a long time.
Women of the Pit.
Gina and Lori, Women of the Pit. They're actually, Gina's the one who kind of came up with our logo, which is, no, not Gina. Lori Drew pretty much gave up our logo. Shep, Quest for Flyer, he's the one that does all our artwork. Actually, something I really definitely want to plug. April 21st at the Oasis, Dan Green shows the Oasis. He runs a venue out of his house. Awesome fucking human being. Built a nice little scene for himself in Lacey, just out of nowhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah, doing backyard shows. There.
Yeah. Great people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that was the food drive I put together.
Yep. Yeah, Mike put together. But unfortunately, a friend of our son, like I said, just...
He passed away.
Yeah, he passed away.
Yeah, but our last show, we took up a big donation and we raised a bunch of money for...
Dorothy. For Dan's birthday is the same as my wife's, April 19th. And they're doing a memorial show with Kritz, sponsored by Mike, myself, Crap Running Crew, which is Dan's stepdad. And who the fuck is playing all that? Asinine Relevance, which
Kirby
is...
Kiss.
That was his son's band, right?
Yeah, that, like I mentioned before, we were talking about the studio stuff. Like, Dan was a drummer. The singer bass player is my friend Mark Kretzer's kid. Who the hell else is in that band? The other one is Bill Ruggiero's kid. Like, I met these kids, and I'm like, who's your dad? Like, you know, I hung out with your uncle. They had a party in your house. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, so it's pretty cool.
I'll do what I can through the podcast to help you promote
April
that
21st,
show.
It's a local show. It's a $15 donation. They're setting up a scholarship fund.
$15 or more.
Yeah, $15 or more. They're setting up a scholarship fund for Daniel.
There's a special mystery guest.
Yeah, we can't talk about that.
I
can tell you
Kiss
it's a
playing.
Fucking really good mystery
Echo,
guest.
What's this called? Echo Plant?
Echo Plum.
Yeah. Lesser Minds, which is our bass player from Kirby Kiss. They're a great hardcore band.
Yes, Brian from North Jersey. Good people. They
got
the Lloyd Project.
Stoned Age,
I think, is this chick Sam Neill from Bayville. All right, because she made
but everybody's
that page for that.
Everybody's
and the special guest is actually really special. Free. They're just not allowed to play because of contract shit, so it's quiet. So it's definitely they're somebody worth seeing. Like, that's some pretty cool stuff. All right.
Yeah, I'll do what I can to make it out to
I'm
that
stoked
one.
They're donating their time to that show.
Come
it's
out,
fucking
do
awesome.
Do some interviews.
Yeah. Because that Dorothy literally lives 3 blocks up.
Yeah,
the
you're
road
in Lacey.
From me.
You're in Lacey, right? Yeah. You're right around the corner from my parents.
Yeah, so I live 3 blocks from Dorothy.
Oh, so you live by Dorothy, and you also live by this guy and Caputo.
Well,
right?
I moved to Bayville. Caputo's,
oh, that's right.
Caputo's on Parkside.
Right by Dorothy.
Dude, my parents are on Woodside. My wife's family grew up right down the road. Yeah, you're right down the road from us. Dude, I grew up on Deerhead Lake Drive.
So did I.
Yeah, I
grew up on the corner of Alpine and Deerhead.
Yeah, no, we were Deerhead and Longwood. So more closer to the neighborhood you're in now. You know
Sounds
what I mean?
Like a cheese brand.
What's I said, dude? Like, when we were back when we were kids, and everybody was talking about like porno names, dude. Like, I'm like, what was it? Like Michael Longwood? I'm like, dude, that's a good one. It's a really good one. All right? Like, fuck yeah. All right.
So many woods.
All right. Yeah.
All right, guys. Thanks for coming. Be sure to check them out. Where's my sound effect guy?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Man.
We out.
Bye.
You hit record. I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, go fuck yourself.